Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks have their three-game point streak snapped after losing to the Florida Panthers 5-1 here on Hockey Fights Cancer Night. I'm going to bring in Steve Conroy now to help me break down this game. Steve, it was 0-0 through one period. It was 1-1 through two periods. The third period is where things went off the rails, and I thought this was the third period was going to be a period where the Hawks would be able to flex their fresh legs a little bit more than the Florida Panthers, given how they got into Chicago at 3:30 in the morning, second of a back-to-back, and unfortunately it was Florida that did so, showing exactly why they've won back-to-back Stanley Cups.
Yeah, I agree, because especially that goal by Bertuzzi towards the end of that second period, you know, it gets the fans into it. Now you can go into the dressing room and talk about the positives, and now you've got the momentum, and they just kind of let it slip away early in that third period. The Sam Moskevich goal, I think, really let the air out of the balloon, and you can see why. You're right. Florida have been past Stanley Cup champs the last 2 years. They've been to the finals 3 years in a row. At times they bent, but they didn't break, and they know when to turn it on, and they turned it on in the third period, and I'll go back to something I mentioned at the end of the broadcast. I got to see this team play in Finland a couple of times against Dallas, and they beat them both times. The Dallas Stars, very good hockey team. And I'm just amazed at not only how they control the boards, but the plays they can make in tight areas. And they're a big team. I mean, you know, I know they're without Barkov, who's a bigger guy. Kulikov's a big guy. Seth Jones, obviously, big. But those big guys can make plays in tight areas. And today's NHL is about making plays. You know, they call it the triangle, making those triangle plays in kind of tight areas, confined quarters. They win battles on the boards, and then they make those plays in tight areas. And I even saw it on that, you know, the Rodriguez set up the Carter Verhaeghe, the great shot by Verhaeghe, too. But those are the little kinds of things that elite teams do, and Florida just seems to do it more than most others.
We were talking about it in the pregame show, all the injuries that Florida has dealt with this season. I think John mentioned they're almost at 300 man games lost for the year. And they're really important guys. Barkov hasn't played all season long. He's going to be out for the regular season. Tkachuk returned. This was his fourth game back, so he missed the entire first half of the year. Brad Marchand's been in and out. He missed the last seven games, returned last night. They're without Seth Jones. No Dmitry Kulikov. I mean, they've had so many injuries, and yet we were looking at the lines in the pregame show, and you're like, Brad Marchand's on their third line, and he's like one of their leading goal scorers and leading point getters. I mean, at some point, too, that's just kind of the Hawks. It's hard to go toe-to-toe with a team like that when you don't have the depth, like in the third or fourth lines, but it's also a learning lesson for a young Blackhawks team, knowing, you know, that's what Florida does to be successful and to win back-to-back Stanley Cups, and that's where Chicago is trying to get to.
Yeah, well, a couple different things there. I also think it speaks to the culture, and the Blackhawks are getting there, but the culture of the Florida Panthers, because you mentioned all those key injuries. The guys who've come in have done a real good job. Belinskis, you know, all of a sudden he's getting a lot more ice time because Seth Jones out. He's playing with Nico Mikkola on the second pairing. Those are important minutes, and in fact, I think I looked at his ice time tonight, and he was right up there, you know, 22, 23 minutes. Bjornfort, who's only played, and I never say his name correctly, so I'm going to have to take a look at it before
Bjornfort.
Bjornfort, two goals tonight, just his fifth game. You know, he steps into the fray, but, you know, he steps into the culture, and there's an expectation there, and there's a way they play, and I guess it's a Florida Panther way of playing hockey, and there's not a lot of drop-off. And the good news is, you know, you're going to get the good news if you're the Florida Panthers, you're going to get these, you know, guys back. Maybe Barkov doesn't come back to the playoffs, but certainly Kulikov and Seth Jones will be back before the end of the regular season. And now you know you have guys who can play. So they're not disappointing. And as far as the Blackhawks go, yeah, it's disappointing because I thought they could have maybe stepped on the gas a little bit in the third period and caught a team that was at the end of a road trip and maybe a little tired from getting in late last night. But they weren't going to let it happen, and they made sure it didn't. didn't happen. And, you know, you got to give credit to the champs, and they were the champs tonight, too.
All right, let's talk about the power play struggles for Chicago. It has been so good for the Blackhawks in the first 45 games of the season. The Hawks were the seventh-ranked power play in the NHL with a 23.3% success rate, 30 power play goals, and 129 opportunities. But in the last seven games now, the Hawks are 0-17. They were 0-3 tonight. They didn't score a power play goal in the game the other night against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Hawks had three power plays in the first period alone against Tampa Bay. They didn't capitalize. They didn't really generate much momentum on either of the three. You're going to go through the ebbs and flows of special teams throughout the year, and this is the part of the schedule right now where the Hawks are really facing some adversity through the power play. What have you seen from it, and what adjustments can the Blackhawks make to try to get things going again?
Yeah, you know, I think lack of confidence right now, when you go six or seven games without scoring, you start to know those stats. You know, typically players don't know stats, but it's like, you know, when the power play's been dry, and it's been dry. And I don't think it's any coincidence that Teuvo Teravainen's been out for five or six of those games. And not that he's a number one power play guy, but when you can bring your second power play out there and score a goal, as they've done a number of times, that really helps, you know, the overall numbers of your power play and your power play in general. So they miss him. You know, I think that to me, it doesn't seem like Frank Nazar is totally comfortable just yet. I mean, he's getting his looks, and I thought he was forcing it a few times tonight, and that's going to happen, you know, when you're out of the lineup. And who knows? That cage might be affecting him. I've never played with one, so I couldn't really tell you. But he's got that jaw protector, and that's right when you look down. You know, you do look down at the puck. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. I mean, a lot of guys, you know, look to see where they're shooting, but they feel the puck on their stick. They're going to look down to see where the puck is. That could be interfering with his line of sight. Who knows? But, you know, he turned it over a couple of times, which isn't ideal. So, you know, there's enough blame to go around entirely. Connor Bedard hasn't had a point in three games now. I think that's probably a season high for him for going pointless. And it would be nice for him to get going on the power play. So, you know, what do I see? I you know, without Teravainen, it doesn't help. And I think the confidence thing right now is, you know, nobody wants the puck. Nobody wants to take charge. Nobody wants to be a shooter. And as a result, it's kind of a tentative power play.
I do wonder if the injuries have played a role in the inconsistency of the power play. You mentioned Teravainen. He's missed the last almost 2 weeks now with the upper body injury. He hasn't been available. Frank Nazar obviously missed the month. He was in that bumper role. So now he's only played three games now coming back from the injury. So he's still trying to find his timing and legs again. Andrei Burakovsky missed a recent game because of an illness, and he's part of the top power play. And then, you know, you had Bedard miss that game because of the stomach bug. So there's been all Bedard with the shoulder injury, too. Mm-hmm. I know that was still when the power play was clicking, but there have been so many moving pieces that eventually it was going to come to a head where the consistency is challenged. And that's what we're seeing right now. And, man, there have been some games where I'm like, if the Hawks get a power play, I'm like, just decline it, because it almost like the penalty kill of the opposition, it feels like, is getting better opportunities over the last couple games than the Hawks are on the power play.
Yeah, they had a couple looks, didn't they? And the one was off. You know, we just couldn't make the blue line. And then the hope plays are the worst thing to happen, especially when you've got the man advantage. You've got to be sure. You've got the extra man out there. You've got to work just as hard, because you know the penalty killers are going to be working at 110%. But you can't hope for something to be a possibility. It's like a quarterback when you're throwing a ball and you're deep in your own zone. It can't be a hope play. You got to be sure the guy's open and you're going to make that you know, connection. And, you know, tonight, I just thought there was too many times, especially on the power play, where it was like, okay, I don't have a lot of time, and I'm just hoping this guy is open, and it wasn't, and it just wasn't there. So I think that's part of it. And sure, you know, there's been injuries and illnesses, and guys are in and out of the lineup. But, you know, I think if you were to talk to the players, they would say, you know what, those are excuses. We've got to be better. We need to take more shots. I didn't see what the final shot total was with the man advantage, but I know after two, they only had two power play shots. That's not near enough. When you have 2 minutes of power play time, you should be getting at least two, three, maybe four shots. And when you come up with one, I don't really think you're doing your job.
Yeah, it does feel like confidence is an issue too, because they're having a hard time even getting set up in the zone, and it's almost like they're overthinking even the entries. You know, like you just overthink just the simplest things that used to just come second hand. And Jeff Blaschel, it looks like he has been to, I know Mike Vellucci, he runs the power play, so maybe I should say more of Vellucci. Like even today on the second unit, the first power play was a disaster, and so he throws out the second unit to start. So they have been making adjustments in game where they're like, all right, first unit doesn't have it tonight, we're going to put the second unit out there. Unfortunately, the second unit wasn't much better, so it was like 35 seconds into the power play, they're like, all right, first unit, get back out there. You know, so it's just they're trying things. It's not like they're just beating a dead horse, rolling out the same thing. It's just nothing seems to be working right now.
Yeah, well, you know, and I used to play a little bit on the power play, and when things weren't going well, I think it was Mike Keenan would say, you know, just get the puck to the net. Just shoot the puck at the net. Don't worry about trying to find an open man. Get the puck to the net. We've got the extra man, and you just try to outman him at the point of contact. So, you know, you try to get to the rebound. If it goes wide, you try to pick up, you know, you get a puck retrieval, and you do it all over again. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you can overthink it for sure, and especially when it's not going well, your confidence gets shaken a little bit. But that's sometimes, you know, it's like life. When things aren't going your way, if you get back to basics, you try and simplify things instead of getting too complicated. And the simplest thing you can do is, you know, try and get pucks through. And that's the biggest thing. Make sure they're not blocked. But get pucks through to the net and then try to outman them because you've got the extra guy out there.
Yeah. And last point on this, because I don't want to drive it too home, but it is playing a crucial role in the Hawks kind of leaving points on the table right now. Connor Bedard hasn't quite looked like the same player that he was pre-shoulder injury. And so he was held without a single shot on goal in the Tampa Bay game on Friday. And then in tonight's game, obviously he was held off the score sheet. So now that's three games in a row without a single point. I mean, everything goes through him, essentially, right? Like when 98 goes, so do the Blackhawks. And you could say a lot, the power play goes through him as well. And I think he just hasn't quite got to that same level that he was before the injury. At least from a consistency standpoint, like we see flashes of it where he's got his legs going, he's got his hands, but it hasn't been like I haven't left many games recently and was like, man, 98 was flying tonight. Like you just see it in glimpses. And so I wonder if that's maybe it's just as simple as that. Like they just got to get Connor going again.
Yeah, no, I think that is part of it. And you look down and yeah, he hasn't had a point in three games. I think he had three shots tonight, though. So that's better than what he did last game. You know, it's with most teams when, you know, when your star player is going, you know, pretty much everyone else is going. And when he goes, as he goes, so goes the Chicago Blackhawks. So, yeah, I think if you talk to him, he'd say, yeah, I'm capable of better. I thought, and I would say the same thing, Charlie, flashes. In Carolina, he showed flashes of brilliance out there. But it wasn't like, you know, I think it was the game against Vegas, or it was one of the games where he just absolutely dominated, and it was a national broadcast, and the national broadcast was all over him. Everything he did was just, you know, golden. And we haven't really seen any highlight reel stuff from Connor. I saw him try a couple things tonight where, you know, the puck, he tried to spin into a puck, you know, collect it, and it just kind of exploded off his stick. And, you know, earlier in the season, that was stuck to his stick. So, yeah, things aren't going his way right now, but that happens with everybody. It happens with Connor McDavid. It happens with Sidney Crosby. You just got to fight through it.
All right, last one. You're going to be getting ready to go on the mom's trip, mom/mentors trip. This should be a fun one. You got your sister coming in?
No, I don't. I've got my daughter.
Daughter.
Yeah, so my daughter's joining me. She's with Kraft Heinz, and she's going to take a little bit of time off. And I said it's going to be well worth it. So yeah, she's looking forward to it as I. She's married now, but it's still, you know, a father-daughter kind of a bonding experience. And I think that the players, this means a lot to them because most of them have their moms. And, you know, regardless of what people say, moms, hockey moms do so much for kids growing up. My mom, growing up in Toronto, she didn't drive, so she wasn't able to take me to a lot of hockey games. She did take me on the bus a couple times, believe it or not. But, you know, so many moms today with the dads working, the long hours, they're relegated to taking, you know, Johnny to practice. And so a lot of those people will be on the trip. And I know that the players want to pay it back. And the best way to pay it back is to have a good time and to win a couple of hockey games on the road.
The moms get after it too. Like I was in the Lightning Panthers moms trip from a couple years ago, and they were sitting in the suite, and every time the Blackhawks had a goal, I mean, they would just erupt. It feels like the dads are more stoic. They're watching more business-like, right?
Yeah.
The moms are, I mean, they get excited. So it's fun to see their energy spill onto, you know, into the suite.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. The moms let loose. Yeah. I think the dads want to, you know, I'm the hockey expert here, and I'm not going to get carried away, but yeah, the moms are allowed to get carried away, and they're the biggest fans of their sons, regardless of whatever anyone says. The biggest fans anyone has is your mom. And always
Absolutely.
Remember that, Charlie.
Trust me. My mom is my biggest fan. I love it. All right. Have a safe trip, and we'll talk to you in Minnesota on Tuesday.
All right. Sounds good, Charlie.
All right. The Hawks fall to the Florida Panthers 5-1 here at the United Center. We're waiting on some sound to roll in from the Blackhawks locker room. And once that does come in, we will have that for you when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Kizer, top of the left circle, tried to fire it on goal. That hit Lindell in the hand, and he's aching a little bit now. Mm-hmm. Puck held in by Kizer with a nice play left point. Moves to the left circle, sends over to McKay and put it in front. Bertuzzi shoots, he scores! And the Hawks have tied this game at one with some hard work. The goal at 19:31 of period number two for Tyler Bertuzzi. That's number 25 of the season. We're tied at one.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Unfortunately for the Blackhawks, that was the only goal that they scored in this game. It was Tyler Bertuzzi's 25th goal of the season. He leads the team in that department, and he's getting closer to his career high. He's a six-time 20-goal scorer, but his career high is 30 goals, so he's now 5 goals away from matching his career high. And that goal snapped a mini 5-game goal drought for Tyler Bertuzzi, so hopefully that gets him going again. He was on a line with Jason Dickinson and Ilya Mikheyev in this game. Let's hear what the Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno had to say on this 5-1 defeat to the two-time Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers.
Experience for a wash. Did it really come down to that third period?
Yeah, which is disappointing because I think our thirds have actually been our better periods, and especially against a team that just played a tough schedule, right? They get in real late and, you know, all the excuses, and it's just got to find a way to get that job done. And that's the hard part. I think tonight was one of those ones where you feel like you beat yourself. Just the goals that we gave up were just breakdowns in the way we normally know how to play, and that really hasn't been the case for a while here. So it's disappointing because this time of year, that's just the reality of trying to win, is you got to grind it out. You have to be a little more detailed than the other team. You have to be willing to do the hard things, and we just weren't able to do that tonight.
Did you feel like Tyler's goal was going to give you basically
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a huge goal right at the end of the period too, right? A lot of times it's a momentum goal, and to come back and the next one and kind of not really have the answer that we needed was disappointing, and I think that's what stinks, because it's just a game where it really is who's going to stick to it a little bit more, and they obviously did, and it's the result in the game.
Was there anything Florida specifically did that got you guys off, or was it all self-defense?
No, they're really confident in who they are. They're really confident in the way they play, so they just know that over time, battle of attrition, they're just going to break you down or get those opportunities, right? And I think it's a good lesson for us, if there's anything you can take away from this game, of how you have to stay with it, how championship teams do it. And you know, that's probably the biggest takeaway for us, is like, that's why we talk about the things we talk about, the details of our system, the way we need to play, and they do it. They don't really break from what they do, and there were still opportunities to win that game, especially against a team that, you know, probably is a little tired tonight. But they find ways to win because they trust their system and then each other, and they get the job done. And that's just where we kind of, you know, lost ourselves a little bit in third.
You get a sense that Connor is just trying to find his people a little bit coming back?
Yeah, and I think just our play, right? It's just the way we need to be a little more predictable. And you know, when he was out, I think that's what our, you know, bread and butter was, so to speak, right? We were just a little more lunch pail, and you know, he's going to find his way throughout that, but I think we haven't been as predictable, and you know, it makes it tough. He's a guy that's keyed on in a lot of the games, and so he's trying to find his way through, but we can help as a team by being a little bit more predictable, like I said, and I think it just gets a flow of the game going, right? More lines are running over. Now we're confident, we have the momentum, and then Connor gets to do his thing. So, you know, we need need everyone to be a little bit better. This is the time of year where you can entrench yourself into that playoff push, and we don't want to let these games slip away.
Do you think finding confidence in mid-game like that when things aren't going that way is kind of something to learn for a young team like this?
It's important. I mean, I think it's the learning curve for us as a young team of understanding, you know, how to build your confidence, right, and who we are. I think we all really enjoy the system that we have in place and how it allows us to play, and it's a fun game, right? And so I think we just need to understand that and stick with it a little bit more. Sometimes, you know, you as a young player, and you know, even us as older players, you just get a little bored with it because it's not breaking, it's not happening, and you don't trust that it's going to happen. And I think that's just because we don't have that experience. Where a team like Florida, they have that. They have the results to back it up. And you know, we need to trust this process a little bit more and realize that, you know, it's going to help us succeed, and it has. And that's just, you know, the stubbornness as youth, and it's like telling your kids over and over, right? So, but I think, you know, for us, it's a good lesson going into a tough little road trip, and luckily we got the mom's trip coming up, so we'll be on our best behavior.
They better be on their best behavior. You got to behave on the mom's trip. That was Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno. I liked what he said there about sometimes, man, especially when you play a team like the Florida Panthers, they are so good at checking and they're so good at defensively, their structure, and, you know, that's a big reason why they've obviously gone to three consecutive Stanley Cups, and they've won the last two of them, is they play such an amazingly structured brand of hockey that it's not sexy, it's not pretty, it's not, you don't flip on the TV wanting to watch the Florida Panthers because they play like an upbeat tempo. Like they just grind you. And Nick Foligno was saying there that they have to make sure that they don't get bored with their own style of hockey. And, you know, the Florida Panthers, they frustrate a lot of teams. And man, we saw it with the Edmonton Oilers in back-to-back years in the Stanley Cup final, where Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, they're just trying to break the dam, right? And it's really hard to do it against that Florida Panthers team. And so it's going to be a learning lesson for the Blackhawks, how to stay patient and stay playing within your game and not letting games like this frustrate you if things aren't going your well, or if you're just not able to generate any offense. And, you know, you don't want to like try to completely overhaul the system mid-game, but you do want to, you know, try to learn to stay patient and just capitalize on the opportunities that you do get. We heard that goal from Tyler Bertuzzi, his 25th goal of the season, but that goal does not happen without the keep-in from Wyatt Kaiser, who I thought was one of the most noticeable players in this game for the Blackhawks. He picked up a secondary assist on that Tyler Bertuzzi goal. Let's hear what Kaiser had to say after this game.
Third period's been good for you guys a lot this year. What was not happening in this one today?
I mean, I think little details we're missing, either if that's coming back in the D zone, maybe supporting a little bit, kind of getting beat to support through the neutral zone, just trying to get a little cleaner through. Just, I think, a lot of little things added up in that third period against us.
What do you see on the goal and the keep in from the play on that?
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to keep it like kind of close, tight gap, the blue line, no easy exits, and I just saw it popped up, threw it down, kind of got it on my forehand, saw the guy cheat to the wall a little bit, so slip middle, and then just saw Mickey open up, so just threw it over there quick, and happened quick.
When things are kind of going wrong in that third period, I guess, what's the best way you guys can kind of regain confidence mid-game?
Honestly, I think when something goes wrong, it's still like understanding we have to keep making plays and keep playing our game. I think it's sometimes the mindset of like, hey, like we made a mistake, we have to immediately just like simplify. I mean, there's a fine line between like being very simple and also having poise with the puck, clean breakouts, making plays through the neutral zone, win and dump it in. So I think it's just finding that balance, to be honest, but still having confidence in our game when something goes wrong.
Right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Wyatt Kaiser talking about this 5-1 loss to the Florida Panthers. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including Jeff Blashill's postgame press conference. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Hawks fall to the Florida Panthers 5-1 here at the United Center. Let's get to tonight's Ice Time, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Artem Levshinov led the way for the Blackhawks in the Ice Time department 21 minutes and 47 seconds. No other player finished north of 20 minutes. The next closest was Matt Grzelcyk at 18:57. Right behind him, just 8 seconds behind him, was Louis Crevier at 18:49. And 6 seconds behind him was Wyatt Kaiser at 18:43. Every single player on the Blackhawks ended up logging double-digit minutes, so in between 10 to 21 minutes. So this was a fairly evenly distributed minutes performance by Chicago. All right, let's get to Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill's post-game press conference and hear what the Blackhawks head coach had to say about this defeat.
We've had some very good third periods this season, but what was happening tonight, that was it something they were doing or what you guys weren't doing, that the third period just kind of swung away?
Yeah, it wasn't a good enough third period for sure. And, you know, there's been times we've had really good thirds. We just, you know, we probably weren't generating enough offense throughout the game. We didn't have a lot of punch. Certainly the Dickinson line was our best line, probably by a lot. You know, but they, other than that, we just weren't generating a ton even prior. But we did, I thought we still did a good job checking. There wasn't much going on. I think the grade A's after two periods for us was two for us and one for them. So not much had happened in the game. And that's just the way these games are. I mean, this is how, you know, this is how it's going to be if we want to be a good team. You're in a lot of these games and you got to go out and stay with it. And, you know, I think we make a little bit of a self-inflicted error. It goes in our net and it's 2-1, but we're fine. And I just didn't like the way we played after that. I didn't think we played good enough and we gave up, again, kind of not a lot, but just goals that are preventable.
What would you like to see to get Bedard going a little bit more now that it's been a bit more games since he's come back?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd, you know, be the first to tell you, you know, since he's been back, I think there's been moments where he's going good and moments where he hasn't. And you know, I think that's the ebb and flow of reality at times of the year. That's what happens with guys sometimes. And you're out a long time, man, and you know, it's hard to get your mojo back sometimes, and you know, he's just working to get his mojo back. And you know, we've kind of played with the lines, maybe that's hurt him, not having consistency there. You know, sometimes you're trying to help spark guys and you end up hurting them by making too many changes. So but you know, again, he's you can't fault the work ethic, you can't fault the care. It just hasn't gone the way that it had prior to him getting hurt.
You often don't shuffle lines a whole lot, but it felt like the last few games you've been searching a little bit more.
Probably over-searching, trying to find the right combination. And, you know, again, I think sometimes when you do that, it hurts your team. So it's something we got to look at and kind of decide, okay, what are we going with, and just stay with that.
Seems like the power play is in a little bit of a funk right now. Is there anything specifically that isn't working?
Well, I don't think our breakouts have been very good. Probably our breakouts and retrievals haven't been good enough. Certainly the breakouts for sure. You know, our percentage has been real low. You know, the prior, I think, 5-game segment, I think it was, or 10-game segment, we actually scored a lot. Now, that was like both units were scoring. And so we're going to have to get back to, you know, better balance on the PP. We're going to have to probably tweak it with some players and stuff like that. And ultimately, we got to break the puck in better, and we got to win more loose puck recoveries.
And that second goal, it seemed like Levchinov missed to Burakovsky on the exit. It seems like at times where just some of those simple plays where is he trying to pass it too hard, or do you notice anything?
Well, that one wasn't too hard, but there's, you know, certainly that you know, there's moments where he passes it great, and you know, moments where we miss, you know, he probably, sometimes I think when he's got a lot of time, he's got to keep that focus in on, you know, it's almost like when you're under pressure, you're forced to be lasered in. And sometimes when he's got time, maybe we just got to make sure that focus is just as lasered in. So, you know, and it's ultimately the puck still came in and we lost the battle on the wall. Like, we had an opportunity. It wasn't like it went bang, bang, but yes. You know, that's what I'm talking about, self-inflicted. I mean, so, you know, you make the one mistake, you have the puck in your stick, it's a 5-foot pass, we can't go tape to tape, and you have a second mistake, you lose a battle on the wall. You know, and so those are two big mistakes.
Dickinson and Mikheyev seem to gel pretty well. Would you agree?
Yeah, they've been really good when they've played together. I think they're on the same page. They all play the same way. They played the fastest of all our team in the O-zone. You know, I've talked about predictability in the O-zone. They did that. You know, they were fast with it. Their puck speed was great. They knew where each other were, and they did a really good job of that. So, you know, it's been that's a line that was definitely a bright spot for us tonight.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. A couple things stood out to me what he was saying there. First of all, the line combinations. Sometimes when you get into a little bit of a rut, you're trying to just tweak things because you don't want to keep things the same and just kind of go insane, right? Like, what's the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and again, expecting different results. But at the same time, you also don't want to tweak too much and disrupt a lot of the chemistry. And you can even tell there that Blashill admitted to maybe we're over-searching for the right line combination. So I wonder, the Hawks are scheduled to practice tomorrow. I wonder if they maybe keep the lines the same, or maybe they just tweak it one more time and then they kind of just let it rip for a few games and just see how that goes. But what I imagine we're going to see at practice tomorrow is some power play, a focus on the power play, specifically the breakouts you mentioned. He implied there that they're going to maybe tweak some of the units, and so we'll see how the Blackhawks do that at practice tomorrow, whether they, you know, is it structural? Like, are they going to change, like, guys from where they're set up, or are they going to mix up the units and go for a more balanced approach? We'll see. Again, it probably falls into the category of Blashill making sure that he doesn't want to over-search, but at the same time, the Hawks are 0-17 on the power play in their last seven games, and they really have not looked great in those 17 power play opportunities. It's not like they're getting unlucky. And then finally, mentioned Connor Bedard. It does seem like he hasn't gotten to the same level quite before, quite where he was prior to the shoulder injury. He has one goal in the eight games since returning from the injury, and that one goal was an empty netter here at the United Center. So he's still searching for it. There are moments where you're like, all right, Connor's got his legs. You know, you see the flashes, but you don't see the consistent domination that we were seeing when Connor was in the lineup before he suffered that right shoulder injury. And so I imagine that's maybe weighing on Connor a little bit, because you know that he wants to get back. He's his harshest critic, right? Like, he's very hard on himself, but that's something that he's going to have to work through, but also the team is going to have to work through, because they're kind of reliant on some of Connor Bedard. They got to make sure that they're kind of lifting him up by making sure that they're doing their part, so that way he doesn't put extra pressure on himself. So again, a lot there by Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. We'll see what kind of adjustments that Chicago makes tomorrow at practice. We got one more break to get to here, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, let's dive into a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. How about an update on Sam Renzel, who was sent down to the Rockford Ice Hogs on December 8th to kind of refine his game and regain his confidence that was there at the start of the year, but has kind of trailed off, and the Blackhawks sent him to the minors to kind of rediscover that. And last night he ended up finding the back of the net in the lone 4-1. It was a lone goal of a 4-1 loss to the Chicago Wolves. He also had six shots on goal. Now, he has 10 points, two goals, eight assists in 18 games this year, but seven of those 10 points came in the first four games. Then he went on an eight-game point drought, and now he's got 3 points in his last six. So hopefully he's starting to turn a corner again after hitting a little bit of a lull there in the middle of that stretch. And I imagine we're going to see Sam Renzel again post-Olympics, maybe closer to around the NHL trade deadline if the Hawks end up making some moves and they end up kind of filling out the roster with some of the young players. But just want to provide an update on Sam Renzel. Scored a goal and had six shots in the loss last night for Rockford. All right, let's get to tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back in action Tuesday night at Minnesota, 7 o'clock puck drop. Pregame is at 6:30. It's going to be the start of the mom's trip, the mom/mentor's trip, and this is going to be the first time that the Blackhawks get a look at Quinn Hughes in a Minnesota Wild jersey. Since being acquired, Quinn Hughes has 24 points in 20 games, so more than a point per game. He has one goal and 23 assists. And in that stretch, he's averaging 28 minutes and 16 seconds of ice time with Minnesota. That is by far the highest ice time of any player over that stretch. Second on that list is Zach Werenski at 26:43. So Quinn Hughes is a full minute and a half more ever since he got acquired by the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota is also 10-5-5 over that stretch. The 20 points is tied for fourth in the NHL over that stretch. So, boy, Quinn Hughes he's an electrifying player, a dynamic player, but he has really elevated that Minnesota Wild group, and he has made sure to, and they're riding him very heavily. So it's going to be fun to see Quinn Hughes for the first time as a member of the Minnesota Wild on Tuesday. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter, the one and only Jack Heinrich, and our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Eli Burke. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zarang here at the UC, and our captain, Chris DeFlore, is back at the station. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Meliotis signing off after a 5-1 loss to the Florida Panthers. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday night.